Thank you for indulging me through a transition, being back from vacation, 2 weeks of helping our little one Gideon and helping mommy and the family. It's been a really nice time. Appreciate the vacation time and the flexibility with the video sermons. But I do want to share about something that kind of came to mind that I've often wanted to spend a little extra time thinking about. So I'm going to think about that together with you today. Psalm 139, verse 14, thinking about our bodies. By the way, I'm happy to share that Gideon's passed his birth weight now. You might know he was losing weight, and on Friday he weighed in at 9 pounds 3 ounces, I think. So he's doing really well now. Mommy's exhausted, but she's doing a great job. And he's recently started that clustering phase, which is mommy's exhausted, but thankfully he's hungry and eating well. So. I'm thinking about just studying our newborn baby and thinking about Psalm 139:14. I hope we can all wonder in the Lord today, as the psalmist does, just wondering in ourselves, looking at ourselves as his special creation and just wondering in him, and that it would be cause for praise, because that's what the psalm does. It thinks about, wow, look at me, not in vanity, but in thinking about the great creator and his handiwork and saying, I praise you. Wow. I think it also can give us a sense of self-worth. There's often a great amount of books that are written and a great amount of searching for self-worth. But here we find it, that we're the image of God, that we're his special handiwork. And we can marvel over ourselves as we reflect him and recognize the amazing creatures that we are on earth. Well, we go to Psalm 139, again, verse 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let me read that one more time. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Well, again, I've been studying our little newborn. You know how you do that? You just look and say, wow, look at those tiny little toes. Look at all those little parts. And yet he's perfect. He's like a total little human. I'm kind of joking. He looks like an old man. You know, he's kind of sitting there, especially after he's satisfied. He looks like a little man. He looks too much like his father. He's going to look better than I in a little while, you know. But it's amazing. He's just this little man designed to grow up. And they do grow up so fast, don't they? It's amazing. I was even thinking about this, thinking about little George is not so little anymore. And it's just amazing how they start to learn words. You know, Gabriel's been learning all these new words, and he's been joking with me. You know how they learn so early. They understand abstract things. Like, for instance, he's having a lot of fun with me right now. He'll say, thank you, Mama, to me. I say, I'm not Mama, I'm Dada. And then he'll do it again. Thank you, Mama. He's not even 2 years old yet, you know. And he's laughing even now. Yeah, you're so funny, dude. And of course, it's fun, and I'll give him a little knuckle rub. Okay, thank you, Dada. Then, thank you, Mama, you know. But he, that young, he already knows abstractly that he's joking with me. It's amazing. And I was thinking of little George just a couple of weeks ago. It was so funny. He was sitting up with his hands on the pew when we're having the Lord's Supper, Nana, when he saw the bread, you know, like they just start to know words and understand and make connections. It's amazing. And this just happens. This is the way God has made us. And it's wonderful to observe. And as we were looking at our newborn baby, you know, there's a lot of, oh, but there's also a lot of, wow. And it can make us remember that we're this little baby too. We're just grown up. It's so amazing that he comes out all ready to go. Perfect little fingers that I learned begin to grasp things even before they come out of the womb. There's a period of time in the womb where he'll start to grab the umbilical cord or other things inside the womb. Perfect little ears. He's got his mommy's ears, you know, the detached ears. It's interesting. That's even the thing, too. You'll see the variety. He doesn't have my flat feet. Gabriel's got my flat feet that I got from my mom. But, you know, and it looks like Gideon has blue eyes and Gabriel has mommy's brown eyes. It's amazing. You see those little different connections made up of mommy and daddy. Olivia, or Fernando will joke, kind of like the baby Sounds not exactly right, but you know, in a blender and comes out a little bit of mom and dad all mixed together. You know, so you be careful with that illustration in some ways, but it's just amazing. You know, he comes out with ears all ready to hear our voices. He's already, they tell us, already hearing our voices in the womb. Even towards the end, the skin is stretching and apparently he can begin to see light through the womb. Even before he comes out, he's hearing our voices and knowing us. Comes out with these perfect little eyes that look right back you. You know, you're holding him, and isn't it amazing? And they do like little old men. You're holding him, and he's just looking right back in your eyes. And he seems like he's understanding who I am. He's looking right into my soul. It's incredible. There's just that human contact there. And as soon as he's born, he immediately knows how to latch and nurse. Nobody teaches the baby this. They just come out knowing to do it. And mommy's body immediately knows how to provide milk, but it will not until the time of birth. But immediately after birth, it begins to provide. It even knows when to stop from the last baby many times. And her milk has vital nutrients and antibodies that are so important for the baby. They're just there by design. Nothing comes close to comparing to it. And that nursing produces chemicals in mommy that makes her feel good, that helps her uterus contract and come back, that helps her body. It's all by design. It's amazing. And it's fun to watch her after she was nursing. I said, "You're feeling good, aren't you?" She's like, "Yeah." Like, there's just that, makes you a little sleepy too, but the mommies just feel good nursing. There's that connection, but there's that chemical reaction, but the nursing also heals mommy. And this is all by design. None of us think this. Just like, you know, we don't think to breathe. We don't think to have ourselves deliver oxygen. All of these things are happening in these related, overlapping, incredibly complex systems within our bodies. How amazing to look out indeed at the world. How amazing to look up at God's amazing universe. The ocean. The constellations, you know, that sense of transcendence we have that gives us a feeling of how small we are, and we worship the Lord because of his great expanse in creation, such as Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, it is your handiwork. But we're also to look down within ourselves. Now, we have to be careful not to forget to do that, because there is a warning not to be looking, doing belly button gazing and self-introspection that becomes vanity. But there is a place for us looking down and within ourselves and even into our mother's womb, hearkening back to feel so significant with that intimacy and that amazing design, because God made us and God made us wonderfully. And this is something indeed to celebrate. Yeah, we are sinners, but we are saved sinners, and we are made in God's image. And God makes amazing things, and particularly humanity, the crown of creation in God's own image. The context, however, is focusing on the presence and construction in the womb of the baby by God. God's presence there. And we've studied that before. The psalmist is talking about, "You were there. You put me there. And you were developing me even before my mother knew I was there. You were there with me." And we've thought about it from that profound side of things. God is there with us from the very beginning. So he'll always be with us. But in this case, we're going to look at how God was constructing us, making us this amazing design that he's developing in us. Look at verse 13. "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Look at verses 15 and 16. "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." So the context is, wow, you made me. I'm your creation. But I'm thinking back to when you were weaving me all together. Now, if you ever go to the artisan place, like if you go to Spanish Village, I think it's still there in Balboa Park, and you can see the artisans working. One time we watched a glass blower and the amazing work and careful work and skill it takes to blow that glass in the fire and shape it. It's incredible to watch. You admire the artisan. Well, The psalmist here is saying, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking of when you were molding me, Lord. All the careful workings you were doing, putting me together. There's an aspect of God still there doing that. It's not the same as at creation, and yet he's still involved in it. The Hebrew word for substance in verse 16, you might remember, is embryo. In fact, the Spanish version, the Reina Valera, translates the word substance in verse 16 as mi embrión. And that's the right way to understand it. So from the littlest moment, we know, and this is an important aspect to remember where life begins, at conception for sure, immediately God is developing this little embryo. It is a human. It is the image of God. But think about such deliberate design of the details, such marvelous, meticulous molding by God in mother's womb of you and me, of our sons and daughters. Mankind, remember, is made even in God's image. Genesis 1:27, before the fall, God made man in his own image. That's a place of nobility. That's a place of special recognition. We're not animals. We are mankind. Genesis 9, verse 6, and James 3, verse 9 emphasizes this again, that we are the image of God. Even a broken image before we are redeemed in Christ, yet we reflect God. This is amazing to consider. And that especially relates to our souls, our ability to think, our ability to reason. Rationality is particularly relating to the Lord. And so it says in the verse, my soul will praise you. Your amazing human existence is cause to praise the Creator. I give that to you as the main idea of this verse in context. Your amazing human existence is cause to praise your Creator. Genesis 2 verse 7 says that your body was made from the earth. Originally, the first man was made from the earth. God took Adam and made him out of the earth and breathed his soul. Breathed his soul into him. Again, think of this amazing creation we see with the first man. Now, it's not the same now. The doctrine of traducianism is something I've taught before. Our body and our soul come from our parents. Still from God, still with his work involved. But they come from a combination of mommy and dad. We see that physically. And if we stop and think about it, we see it in our soul. We see it in how we act. Don't we often say, and we're not necessarily speaking of our physical appearance, oh, they're just like their dad, they're just like their mom. And we recognize these things come naturally. We recognize as we have more than one child. They come out different, each one of them, which makes parenting need even more wisdom, right? You know, that didn't work. I remember when we had Olivia, I used to say, I can't do what I do with Rachel. It doesn't work with Olivia. I have to do some, I don't remember what it was, but you know, it's like you got to learn how. And then when I start having boys, boys are so different than girls, and each boy is so different than the other boy. And you were already recognizing that Gideon seems different than Gabriel. They come out with their personalities, and they come out having gotten them from a mixture of their parents. And isn't that still truly beyond our ability to understand? Shouldn't we just marvel and praise at that? How does the Lord do this? It's a mystery. It's supposed to be. We're told enough to just marvel and praise God. But it's so wonderful it should cause us to marvel and praise God. Soul, your soul, again, in the scripture here, it says, your soul, part of your created being, especially who you are, praises God. So indeed, beloved, ponder the wonder of your amazing person. Look in the mirror. And yeah, have a good laugh, you know, I mean, as I remember one minister saying, you know, I'm a preacher of the Lord, and then look in the mirror and have a good laugh to stay humble, but then look a little longer. Watch how whatever the effects of the fall and the effects of aging has done to us, and yet recognize what is still working. You know, some of you, I'm starting to see myself more and more involved in it. I'm constantly doing this now. I may need bifocals, I don't know. It's getting crazy. Or just different things don't work, and yet, you know, I think we can think of ourselves as vintage cars. You know, we still, and they don't make them like that anymore, right? You know, there's still beauty in the engineering. There's still beauty in the preserving of even these older vehicles. We want to recognize, again, the amazing design in it. We reflect the designer. We're supposed to value ourselves. It's true that we need to recognize that we are sinners and nothing outside of Christ, but we do want to recognize the value inherently in ourselves as a creation of God, and in particular, as a redeemed creation of God, a human creation and recreation in God. great value for any person to have. I encourage you to be thinking about that as you talk with people and witnessing. Do you know that you are made in the image of God? God Almighty? Oh, you're a broken image. You need Christ to be saved and restored into his perfect image. But do you recognize the value? Why would God send his son to die for us if we were not of great value to redeem? And, beloved, think of this before we continue. What a glorious thought in heaven with our new spiritual bodies, how they're going to work. I've often heard it said that we only use about 10% of our brain's capacity, ability. Just think about, isn't it going to be great when we're not going to wonder where we've left something? My poor wife has to hear me say almost every day, "What did you do with my glasses?" And she knows I'm kidding. I lose them almost every day. Sometimes really on my head. Once in a while I've done that. You know, won't it be amazing when we never forget? Just imagine the amount of time and frustration saved by never losing anything by forgetfulness. But of course, much more seriously, our ability to love the Lord and one another perfectly, and our ability to run, our ability to do things with our resurrected bodies in a new perfect world. I imagine the way things will smell. Not only will food and flowers be more beautifully potent, unaffected by the fall, beautiful by sight in them own selves, but our ability to see, our ability to hear, our brother who is colorblind, you will see color in amazing ways you've never seen before. Probably you'll enjoy it more than we ever would because of the lack of your ability here. All these things, when our bodies are resurrected, we're able to see and process and do amazing things with. Because God made us in his image. God designed us as these amazing, amazing things. And so here is our value. So, beloved, value all human life. And I know we're preaching to the choir, but it does need to be said again, especially in the context of this psalm. Value all human life, including in the womb. This is the witness to give to people. God made that baby in your womb, and it is a reflection of himself. And so that's why in Genesis 9:6, it says, if you kill a human being, you are worthy of capital punishment because you have destroyed the image of God. And it's the same if we do it before they come out of the womb. Be amazed at professional athletes. You know, there was a catch that one of you were sharing with me and caused my team to lose. But it was unbelievable. And the catch of our team before should have been the highlight. That was unbelievable, too. It is unbelievable what a well-trained body, muscles and muscle memory and all these things. It's amazing what can be done. It's amazing. Marvel over poets. Marvel over artists. Look at how their ability to think and create and think about things abstractly and communicate beauty. Marvel over these things. Enjoy songs. Enjoy poems. Enjoy appropriate movies and things. And just marvel over what mankind can do, even in fallen state, even in an unredeemed state. Now, this is not a license to go out and be foolish. But still, recognize the beauty of reflecting God in being human. And praise the three persons of the Trinity. Because this is the result that should come from such self-admiration. And we know from Romans that the world that's not redeemed in the image of God in Christ, they deny the Creator and they give praise to the creature. And certainly to themselves too often. We don't want to do that. But we can self-admire when it causes us to lift our eyes up to the one who made us. And that's what the psalm is saying to do. Praise God. Look at yourself and praise him. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. It is amazing. Like we look at our little babies, the Bible is giving us license to look at ourselves. He's looking back at himself in the womb. He's looking at himself. We have the ability to recall ourselves when we look at our little babies and say, I'm made that way too. I'm amazing too because of my Creator and what he's done. But it is to praise him. Not ourselves, it's to praise him. Look at verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I'm going to think about what you want me to think about. When I think about that you made me, body and soul, you made me with the ability to think. You redeemed me in Christ to think properly. I want to think your thoughts after you. I want to care about what you care about. And I want to praise you for it all. Do it with holy fear because you've been made fearfully. There should be a sense of awe there. This is incredible. Do it with awe and wonder because you've been made wonderfully. Do it the way you would admire any work of an engineer, any work of art, Elder Renner passed on a video this week of an amazing artist, I think Swedish, and it was movement art. I never heard of movement art, and it was art. It was the beauty, just as you might see in ballet and other movements. It was amazing, these just different pieces that were designed to be moving in and out of one another with such grace and efficiency. There was engineering there, but there was also beauty, artistry, poetry, the way it all moved and worked together. See these things and admire your designer. Admire your great artisan the same way. For you are an amazing specimen of machinery. You are an amazing specimen of beauty. Especially having been recreated as a new creation, reflecting his holy image that was lost in the fall. And consider this, beloved, that Jesus Christ took on a human body and a human soul to save you, body and soul. Indeed, he without sin, yet it recognizes the value of humanity and the value of our bodies. Redeemed in him, and in his humanity, his perfect humanity, you can rejoice in your humanity. Calvin says at the beginning of his Institutes, and others have said it too, that we can know ourselves better by studying God. On the other side of things, we can know God better by studying ourselves. Certainly in our sin and understanding our need for him and redeeming us, but also this kind of a thing in Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at, wow. And when we do that, this is an aspect of our fulfilling our chief end for the first catechism, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. There are so many ways to motivate us and guide us to do this. This is one of those ways we can remember today. Maybe we can often say when something might not be working right, and then when it's working right again, or we get help to move along, we say, God, I can praise you, Lord, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And anytime I bring one of the cars back from being fixed, I'm always thankful that it's fixed. And, oh, it's just so nice it's working well. We can be thinking about that and, again, particularly be looking to the resurrection when everything's going to work amazing. And we'll, in new ways we can't even understand now, see how fearfully and wonderfully made. And it will be a cause for us to praise him in heaven together. I want to think about this with you. And this is a little bit of my excuse to have the sermon. I wanted to look into this more. Institute for Creation Research, which I think used to be where the Creation Museum is here now. I think they're in Dallas now. But they have this article on their website called Made in His Image, The Amazing Design of the Human Body. And I want to read for you a few things they wrote. It's a little bit lengthy, but I hope it'll be a blessing to you as it has been for me. Think about what you're going to hear and think about yourself and praise God. They write at the beginning, take the human body. Its profound engineering outshines virtually everything else we see. Even the best scientists and engineers can't come close to replacing its beauty, performance, and complexity. As we study the human body, it becomes apparent that it was the result of an exceptionally intelligent and creative mind. Let's think about the miracle of birth. Here's what they say about the miracle of birth. One example is the multiple temporary structures that allow a child to survive in a watery world for 9 months. And then suddenly transition into a normal breathing environment after birth. A substitute lung to get oxygen from the mother. Shunts that divert most blood around the developing baby's lungs. And blood vessels that connect the baby to the placenta. All of these must work together to enable a baby to thrive in the womb. And within the first 30 minutes after birth, all the temporary vessels, shunts, and openings normally stop functioning, and they permanently close within the next 1 to 2 days. They're just there for a moment to make and grow a baby, and then they go away. And if another baby is going to come, it's all created again, all developed. The body just knows to do this. The woman's body just knows to do this. Think about the marvel of the eyes they would have us think about next. The visual system develops in the womb. built in plans and specifications, tissues from the eye in a precise choreography of carefully timed steps. So there's this careful, like you would see on assembly line. It's the same thing you see. Everything's defined very carefully. Next step after this, it has to go in order. So your eye develops as if in choreography, they say, in the womb. At the same time, nerves and are constructed to bring data from the eyes to the brain. And after a child is born, his eyes take in data. Light photons hit the back of his retina, which converts patterns of light into a flow of electrical signals. These data are sent down the optic nerve to the brain for interpretation into information. However, the brain cannot interpret the data until memories are formed for future reference. Both the processes of retrieving memories and associating them to data patterns are essential to complete the function of sight. As simple as they seem, even eyelids display complex design. They protect eyes from dust and debris and keep the eyes lubricated. Tears not only help clean your eyes, they also contain antimicrobial agents and other compounds that produce a euphoric effect and help you feel better after crying emotional tears. And that's all there by design, ready to function, developing in the womb. God still yet overseeing it. Next, they'd have us think about uniqueness in our human hands. I often encourage you, just look and watch the way they function. You know, I think about if we try to make a robot or anything do that, even work with a puppet or doll, I mean, it's amazing how hard it is to get anything to do what we do so naturally. Such sophistication. They write this, human hands are definitely unique, enabling us to perform in ways unmatched by animals. Not only is their physical structure different from comparable hands in the animal kingdom, they are controlled by an unusually large neurological command center in the brain that gives us uniquely human abilities. It isn't just physical. In our brains, we have uniquely given abilities to use these hands. The human hand can perform a variety of grips and movements, exhibiting an astonishing amount of flexibility and control. Our hands allow us to grip heavy objects like a hammer or a bowling ball, as well as light and fragile objects like a potato chip. Or maybe you could think about a photograph. Isn't that amazing to consider? The rugged things we can do and the delicate things, the same, it's incredible. They go on to say, the unique ridges and swirls on our fingertips also act as data collectors. Now, I know you can use it like your thumb. I remember when I got a laptop at work, you could use your thumb as a security device. I'm like, no way, I'm not using my thumbprint, man. Somehow the government's going to get me. So I never did it, but you could have your thumb scanned, and only you can get that laptop open. Now it's an eye retina. I'm not going to do that either. I'm too nervous about that. But it's amazing it can be done, that you have a unique eye retina scan can be identified. Isn't that something? Human hands can also perform rapid movements due to the brain's profound ability to develop a forward plan that anticipates movements several steps ahead. This allows pianists to play up to 30 successive notes about 40 milliseconds apart. You ever watch an amazing pianist? How do they do that? By God's design and ability. Some gifted more, some developed more. But that ability to even think ahead and anticipate and memorize and function with all these things is given by God. An ability not only in the hand but in the brain, and an ability to think ahead into the future, anticipating how to use them. Beauty and motion. This is the last thing we'll look at with the Creation Institute for Creation Research about the amazing human body God has made. Beauty and motion. The human body is the ultimate example of the marriage of design and function, enabling athletic abilities that showcase just how perfectly God engineered us. It takes all parts functioning together as one well-balanced system to achieve amazing athletic feats like ballet or skiing or throwing a baseball. Or I'm thinking about the Olympics, especially the gymnasts. It's unbelievable what they can do. because God made us with this kind of ability that can be developed. He goes on to say about motion, to help us balance, we have an interconnected control system in our ears, known as the vestibular system, a great example of a biologically complex system with multiple parts working together for a single purpose, balance. Our maculae give us straight line movement data, while semicircular canals give us circular motion data. Our brains interpret the data from the maculae and semicircular canals to give us a sense of our position and direction of movement. Our nervous system carries instructions from the brain to adjust the rest of the body according to the sensory data, enabling a gymnast to vault and stick her hand, landing after a flipped twist and turn. I've shared with you before, I think, perhaps on this scripture. I remember once speaking of this inner ear system, this intricate, sophisticated system that keeps your balance. If it goes out of whack, do you know what will happen? You will fall over. But that shows what an amazing system we have in there we take for granted of. There is a disease that people can have sometimes, an inner ear disease. My mom was afraid I had it once because I guess it had run in the family. But one time, long time ago, I was shopping. I went and sat in my car and I was going to get back up to go shopping again. And I couldn't. I couldn't sit forward. I was unbelievably dizzy. I asked somebody passing by to call me an ambulance. I went to the hospital. That was the days before at least I had cell phones. So somebody called for me and I later had my parents say I had to go to the hospital. I couldn't function. And I had some kind of thing in my inner ear that caused the hair pieces, something that work with the liquid stuff. I know, bear with this technical language I'm using. I know it's very sophisticated, but, you know, layman's terms. But whatever it was, the hairs in the liquid, just a little out of balance, and you're out of balance. And, you know, the doctor said to me, she said, God is an amazing engineer. And that's what we're seeing here. Just the inner ear balance is unbelievable. Athletes are good at their sports because they practice. The brain stores repetitive muscle movements as skills to be recalled and used at will. The more an athlete repeats a purposeful motion, the more precise and easily recalled the skill will be in his brain. Everywhere we look, up into the vast and awesome grandeur of the universe, or down into the credible beauty of the inner workings of our bodies, we see great design and purpose pointing us to the Creator. And they close with this. In spite of the many other wonders we witness, you and I are the most efficient, complex, and astonishing work that our omnipotent and omniscient designer ever made. I want to repeat that again, and I want to encourage you to really, really think about this verse and say it for yourself and be blessed by it. Because if you're like me, I don't feel so wonderfully made. I don't feel so fearfully made. I feel like all I exist today with my body is to be a cause for the laughter of others. Now, sometimes that's by design. We like to watch this food show where they all say, this is you, Dad, because he's really nerdy and silly and moves crazy and likes to make people laugh. That's some of it. But sometimes you just feel like you're a cause for laughter because you're so awkward and everything's breaking down. And I don't feel like this specimen, but we need to recognize everything within us is still amazing engineering and a work of art. And it points to us that we are images of God, redeemed in his image through Christ. And you have amazing value. Why the Son Jesus Christ took on your humanity and body and soul, to redeem your body and soul, to be raised perfected spiritual body and soul, to worship your Lord God at his throne and the Lamb forever, and say together, raising your hands and praising him, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. We are fearfully and wonderfully made as you reflect perfectly his image in his presence together. I want to read that last quote for you again. I want you to think about the scripture again. I want you to go home feeling good about yourself. Feeling amazed with yourself. Because of what you reflect about your designer. Your amazing engineer and artisan. The Lord God Almighty. in spite of the many other wonders we witness. You and I are the most efficient, complex, and astonishing work that our omnipotent, omniscient designer ever made. Why is that something we should meditate on a lot? Because we live in a culture with science falsely so-called, as the scriptures speak, that says this is all by accident, that this is all by evolution, that this all has no purpose and no designer behind it, that you're really not that amazing or important. But you are. Every human is. But especially you, who Christ gave his own body and soul to redeem yours. You are the most efficient, complex, astonishing work that our omnipotent and omniscient designer ever made. Go home with self-worth and praise the Lord God. And I encourage you also to go to the Creation Museum, many of us have been to before, here locally, and take time in the large area that is all about the human body. Just go up and down thinking about this verse. Look at the section just on the eye. Look on the section about all of the reproduction. Look about the respiratory system. Look at all the different things. It is incredible. You'll find yourself astonished. And may you go and look and rejoice in what God has made you, redeemed to operate still forever, raised from the grave in heaven. And say to the Lord what you'll be saying by his grace forever in heaven. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Praise God for how wonderfully made you are. And that is the message for you this morning, beloved. Praise God for how wonderfully made you are. And if you and I need a little help as things continue to become more vintage, let's look at our babies together. Let's look back into our mother's womb as the psalmist does. And let us rejoice in who we are in Christ. And let us praise our Lord. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we do thank you that however we find ourselves in the effect of the fall and its wear and tear upon us, we do look forward to the resurrection of our bodies. We get excited to think about what they will be able to do that they never have been, or that we cannot do any longer, or that is fading. Oh, indeed, Lord, let this be what encourages us, the resurrection of our bodies, that we would be looking for your kingdom come, that we would be looking for the end of the age, that we would be looking for the resurrection and be satisfied with nothing left, even in our youth, because we know our youth will fade from us fast. Yet, Lord, though we become more vintage in time, even as we would look at our bodies ready to be buried, yet we see still amazing engineering, amazing, beautiful artistry. And we are so thankful to know that this will be resurrected and perfected and glorious at your return, of our loved ones in Christ and of ourselves in Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you that you came to heaven and you took on humanity to save humanity. You took on a human body and soul to be the substitute for us, to take on the penalty due to us for sin. And you lived the perfect life, body and soul, to credit us with your righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, even now as we live for you, we have a redeemed sense of our image reflecting you in truth, knowledge, holiness. But even in our bodies, we reflect the designer and your engineering and just the beauty and sophistication of your glorious, infinite, eternal mind. We thank you, Lord, as we think about with all that is out there, but even with humanity, the variety in our DNA, some with blue eyes, some with brown, some with green, some with hazel, some tall, some short, some with abilities more with art, some with abilities more for engineering, some with other abilities, such variety. Lord, just as with our food, you've given us so many different varieties of, you could have just made one thing with the butterflies. So much of the beauty is just for our pleasure and your pleasure. So, Lord, we see amazing design and amazing artistry, And so we look at ourselves and we praise you and say we will praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that our souls know right well. Thank you for this reminder. Lord, let us not look elsewhere for our self-worth, for we find it here in this scripture in our reflection of you. Lord, let us have this as part of our gospel message to the lost, to call them to be restored into the beautiful image of God in perfection, one day at the resurrection in perfect, perfect reflection. But even now we have such value. And we do pray, Lord, that this message would be one that takes root and gets out there, and that it saves babies in the womb. That you bring back a value of life for the reflection of God in man in the womb, even from the embryonic state, with your handiwork there in some way, still bringing mommy and daddy together and guiding the cleavage and development of the child. Lord, we do marvel, even in our babies when they first come out, of all their ability and all their potentiality, and how it develops so quickly and amazingly. And so many times we recognize we didn't teach them this. They just do it as they reflect our God. We pray especially, Lord, that you would help us to reflect your goodness and truth and holiness, that you would help our brains to be able to reason better and better, reflecting you who are the Logos. We do thank you, O Lord God, for all these things you've taught us today. And pray, Lord, as we should reflect and value ourselves, that we would do better for our soul, our mind, and for our body, to treat them as what they are, the temples of God. To take care of them as they are, the temples of God. To take more care of them than we would for any vehicle or any home or any toy. That we would most take care, even if in our vintage moments, that we would most take care of ourselves as the image of God and the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are so thankful to know that in eternity we will reflect you with our risen spiritual bodies one day. Bless us now as we go home. Let us enjoy rest and worship, remembering that we will have the eternal rest and worship at your return. We lift up your name on high and glorify you. We praise you for how we see you reflect yourself in us. And in Christ, all your people said, Amen.